Cheek. Welcome. Friday morning is the day I usually release my podcast, but we sent off one early this week after I wrapped up my observations on Vox Pop Con. So we're not going to talk about that this week, but that's why I'm recording on a Friday. Okay, my students come Monday, so I've really got one weekend to get a lot of shit done. And kind of don't feel like it right now. So I've driven down to Bluffers and sat out on the bench, absolutely beautiful by the water, strong breeze, so great just for sitting, maybe reading, but not good for podcasting. The wind is really, really high. And I want to spare you those ugly noises. Speaking of ugly noises, it occurred to me while reflecting back on the content of our various gatherings, Vox Pop Con, and our past PABs and PodCamps, that people have said, oh, well, we don't talk about podcasting anymore. That's been done. That's finished. And it just occurred to me that I think a lot of people could do with a refresher course in podcasting, and I would be very happy to attend, even if one stream of whatever the next gathering is was devoted to podcasting gear. And then these little things, like, for example, the fact that Bob Goyetch and Dr. Dave Broadbeck and even our very own Mark Blevis are putting out podcasts using this little app that Sivel Grandmaison was also using to just make sort of one on the fly, very simple, and bam, just send it up there. You know, nothing fancy, nothing hard about it. I can't even remember the name of it right now. You know what it is. You're probably shouting it. But the tricks about working around something like that, because I was just reflecting on how once I get up to camp, it's kind of hard to post these things. I got to save it, you know. Do I upload stuff? It's hard from my iPad. Oh man! So maybe I really should, before I leave, find some shortcut way of putting up maybe a shorter podcast and just getting these impressions out. That's something, you know, that I could do with a little help on. So maybe, damn it, if there's somebody around Toronto who wants to show me, I don't know. I don't really hang out with people doing that. I suppose I could do the research myself and figure it out. Yeah, all right, there we go. Done. But it did occur to me that maybe we've gone so far past the days of not talking about podcasting that maybe it's time to come back to podcasting a little bit. I was also very interested to hear the different takes on Anthony's event in Hamilton. Listened, of course, to Will and Bill on Cast Roller and Dave Broadbeck on his, whatever it is, the name of his podcast. Can't remember the little short one that he has, Solo Dave or something. And, of course, we won't hear from Bob because Bob wasn't there, and we won't hear a whole lot from Mark because Mark is a little guarded in the things he says, except when he calls you on the cell phone. Anthony's the same. I mean, Anthony's going to talk in general, but nobody's going to say about, you know, things they don't like. And even I didn't say anything I didn't like. I only talked about the things I did like. And I think that's fair game, although I do worry that this field gets to be a little incestuous and people are very careful not to say things about something they don't like. I think that's why I cheered on Joey and Lee, because they seem sort of in a way of outside this group with independent views. And I think that's really important. It's the same when we were out west living out there we had our circle of friends, the same people going to the party. And I know many of you live within a chosen, almost closed circle of people. It's pretty hard to get in, you know. And this could go back to university buddies, high school buddies even, or whatever. And it's pretty tight. And it's very easy to exclude people. And I think that's always a danger. And I know I did find that when we were in Vancouver. You know, well, you'd call up the same circle of phone calls. Who's going to the bar and who's meeting what? And I think it's so important to bring in new blood from time to time. And I think this whole podcasting field allows for that. We do absolutely fucking have to start putting up Canadian Podcast Buffet again. I had a brilliant idea. Probably won't have time, but it was a great idea to do one because we now have the feed. So those of you who are so inclined actually have the tools needed, the pieces of the puzzle, to put together a Canadian Podcast Buffet. I think I would love to do one with our good friend in Nashville, our displaced Canadian, Dave Delaney. Because it'd be giving it an interesting perspective. And there's so much, even though it is the Canadian Podcast Buffet, of course, we have many American friends and fans who listen in are involved. And I think that would be a good thing. All you need is the fucking time. Speaking of which, I'm probably overdue for a talking to Tim as well. I don't think that's going to fit in. I guess the summer is pretty well taken up, man. So there you have it. Nothing. 6 minutes. Nothing. Gee, I'm sorry. I did get a letter from Bell. Do you want to know about that? Yeah, nice little letter from Bell. And then where the fuck did I put it? I'm trying out new bags. This is a bit of a problem for me, I gotta tell you. I had that neat little bag. These are the ones that just sort of sling over one shoulder, a wide strap, smaller bag, not a backpack, you know. And the one I used all the time, just the right size, was stolen with all my gear, of course. How convenient I made it for the thief. Here, take the bag and everything in it. So I was going to go buy one the other day, and I went to the stores. And, you know, you get a little brand logo, like a Swiss Army logo, and it's going to cost you double. I forgot. Came home, told my wife, oh, yeah, I've got to get a new bag. She says, well, what about the Swiss Army logo one I have for you in the basement I bought you and never used? I said, no, I haven't seen that. I've never used it. My son must have taken it. Sure enough, she goes down the basement and hauls out this bag, which I'm holding in my hand right now. And the trouble is, they're sort of cut on an angle, right? So for a large rectangular object the size of an iPad, it just barely fits. It does fit. So technically it's okay. Just a little awkward getting it in and out, but that's probably okay. So I think I'm reclaiming this bag, and I'm certainly glad I didn't go and buy one. My wife, you know, hey, come on, I bought you one and you haven't used it yet. So here we go. I'm breaking in a new bag, all right? Isn't that exciting? Letter from Bell. As you know, well, maybe you don't, but I cut off my server with Bell from the, I guess I was on some sort of a discount plan, you know, and these things expire after a year. They give you some rebate or something, and then bam, suddenly your bill shoots up. And I got this ridiculous bill, and it was the last fucking straw, because, I mean, I kept cutting down. It's a phone that sometimes people call, mostly to see if I need my air ducts cleaned. That's usually. Lately, it's been political surveys. Stay on the line, and you can join in a town circle talk on your phone. Fuck off! Don't call me. Very seldom we use it for outgoing calls. And it was costing me, you know, $35-40. And then the last bill jumped up to $70 for some unknown reason. And that was it. Fuck you! And our friends at Rogers, who are going to nail me, and already do anyway, were offering, I think, a $20 a month for, you know, the first year or whatever, maybe 2 years, if you sign up. And I did. So a little letter comes in. Dear Mr. So-and-so, I'd like to thank you for having been a valued member of the Bell family. Come on. And even though you're no longer using Bell as your home phone provider, we truly appreciated the chance to have been of service. Did you really? We would like the opportunity to earn your business back. If there is anything we can assist you with or anything you would like to discuss, don't hesitate to contact a member of my team at blah, 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 blah. That would be from Kevin Cluett, Vice President, Residential Services. Vice President, Residential Services. Wow, this is a big corporation. Too little, too late, Kevin. But in the meanwhile, you know, I get calls from Rogers. Well, we're just calling to see about your new service. Yeah, all right. The purpose of this call, and she couldn't tell me. She was very polite. But there was no, you know, and I said, well, you're not trying to sell me something. No. Okay. And I haven't called you with a problem. No. So what exactly is the purpose of this call? You're disturbing me in the middle of my workday. Why is it that you're calling? And she couldn't answer. Poor girl. I said, look, for the record, you did a beautiful job. You're very polite. You handled it well. But why are you calling? Jesus Christ Almighty. This world, and here we are, I know, first world problems. Listen to CBC Radio today. By the way, this is just, what I'm doing is just rambling, okay? There isn't a particular thread here. I just need to unload before I get back to getting the nail taken out of my tire and hoping they're not going to charge me $20 and maybe they'll do it for 10 or 12 just to put in a stupid little plug and that it's I don't have to wait 10 hours and then I have to compose very carefully an email letter to all my host families and send it out, like about 20 of them, and I have to send them individually. I can't just do sort of, I know there are other ways of doing it, but I don't, I only do this a few times a year, so it'll take a little time, and then I've got to buy some, oh, you know, the list, okay? So meanwhile, I'm just asking for a little time and a little of your patience in allowing me just to motor on, okay? Now you see you've made me lose my thought. Jesus, I would, this bloody apologizing gets me every time. We were on something. I could stop and rewind. It seemed to be, it was important and probably wasn't, so we'll just keep on talking. 12 minutes. Oh, if you're a first-time listener, you've long hung up. Exactly why am I listening to you? Kalunk. It's because I'm actually a nice guy. And I listened back to a little bit of what I just recorded for the Vox Pop Con. God, I'm going to hate that name after a while. Please make it different next year. Conference. And I thought I did a really decent job. I mean, there was a real flow to the words, to my speech. I was really pleased about the way it all came out. And when I am unrehearsed and without pressure, I can talk. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, new subject? Shall I pause and come back? That's like cheating for me. Okay. Yesterday, went into the Town Center shopping mall to buy a suit. I went through Scarborough Town Center. I went through the entire mall. Started off with, was it H&M, I think? Got a little, you know, clerk of a certain type, you know, I guess these are, what would you, hipster maybe, if I could use that term. I said, you know, I'm looking for a jacket, large size, 46 tall, and something light summer wear. Well, could you give me a little more information? Like, what the fuck more do you need? Like, the style and, what do you need? And then, very clearly, no, I don't think we have anything. There are other shops down the mall. Maybe you could try there. Like, just basically, you don't belong in here. There should have been a screener at the gate, you know, when you walk in. You know, the alarms that get set off when you try to steal something? There should be one, anybody 65 or 60 or over. Stay out, buddy. You don't belong here. So, anyway, I visited every shop selling men's clothing. And let me tell you, it's very hard to tell, because there's an awful lot of women's clothing shops that they're just confusing. I do not like big shopping malls. I did find the few that were selling men's clothing, and in the entire shopping mall, there were only two jackets in my size, 46D. One was a white Ralph Lauren pre-wrinkled mead to look like, oh, this shitty old thing, I've had it for years. It just, you know, keep it hanging in the closet, whatever. It's like an old shirt jacket on sale for $100. And, like, it looked dirty already. And me wearing a white jacket is not a good idea. It fit, but damn it, I could just see the very first outing, you know, spaghetti sauce, bam, all over it, and that's that. And then, finally, you know, tip-top tailor. Well, it's not the color I want. It's not the style I want. But it fits, God damn it. So I took a picture, using my nifty cell phone, took a picture, went home, showed my wife. She said, yeah, I get it. Went back and got it. And the salesman said, I told you to buy it in the first place, you know. Thanks, guy. But that was just such an unpleasant experience, you know, shopping and shopping in the malls and then going through and then walking through the bay, which is every shirt, everywhere, up to 60% off. Well, you don't know what they are, and you can't tell. They're all made in China, but they're all... I don't get fashion clothing. I just don't get... I know what I like. I love bright-colored cowboy shirts, you know. I bought two of them. Long-sleeve shirts in the middle of summer, because they look neat. They look like cowboy shirts. They'll go good with blue jeans. Oh... God, have I wasted enough of your time? I suppose for some of you it doesn't matter. If there was a triple speed fast up on this, on whatever you're listening to, I know you'd use it. Mark Blevis uses the two speed all the time. And it just makes me feel, gee, maybe if I talk faster, would that help? No, it's still going to be a 60-minute podcast. It's just that... sometimes you just gotta let stuff out of your system, and sometimes it can't be all serious. Like, I turned on CBC. Well, first of all, the one story was the wife of one of Kony's wife, Kony in Uganda, and you know, oh my God, that's gonna be a horror story, kidnapping children and girls and raping them, and oh, please, I don't want to hear that. And the other one was, why are there no more songbirds in Europe? Well, Egypt is on the main flight path, and they can kill them and eat them. And the story was so disturbing that, you know, these are people out in the desert, have nothing to do. And the one guy was writing reports on this, the decline of songbirds and colorful birds. And they're sort of saying, it's okay for you Americans to drop bombs on our towns and cities, but we can't shoot songbirds? Like, whoa. And you realize, yeah, okay, that is one perspective, as the storyteller said. Two wrongs don't make a right. But there is just so much shit and tragedy in the world. There's so much sadness. You could look and you peer back behind that curtain and you just see the horror. You think of the Mexican drug lords. Well, they got one, you know. The most notorious, one of the most evil, cruel people. And you know what they do to other human beings, and you know what's happening in the rest of the world. And so sometimes you just don't want to deal with it. You just don't want to. And you feel guilty to be living in your comfortable world of shopping malls and cold drinks and air-conditioned homes. And another part of you is just, but I can't bear the truth. It's just too much. It's just too sad. Damn, I had another thread there, and I lost it because I let myself go on... Oh, the bird feeder, of course. Let's end on the bird feeder. I am now feeding every single sparrow in Scarborough. Every single sparrow now knows our Japanese maple tree and the little bird feeder with the 8 posts that are hanging on it. And they feed like 3-4 at a time. Bam, they come in when it's feeding time. And you're looking, yeah, I'd really rather have a blue jay or a cardinal or a nice yellow finch or something, but these fucking dull tar-colored sparrows, they all look the same. There's nothing colorful, nothing bright. It's really kind of boring, and then you feel a little guilty. Yeah, well, just because they're not bright and colorful doesn't mean they don't have to eat too, you know. And maybe that's a metaphor for the world. I'm using my Canadian Tire points to feed the sparrows in Scarborough. I kind of like doing it, but I'm still wishing for something a little more special, a little more color to come out of this? Does that make me a bad man because I'm judging them by their appearance as boring fucking feathers and all looking the same? And they do sound nice, you know, given that. And I get out to Buffers Park here and see the lovely birds. So I guess we'll wind up there, folks. You've been very patient if you bothered to listen through this whole thing at all. But sometimes that's the way it goes, right? Sometimes you just gotta... Oh, my. Last point. You get old, you start making a lot of noise. You get up, you sigh, you sit down, you sigh. My wife's noticed it. Other people have pointed out it. Things like that, you know, and is it a weariness of life? Am I really getting to be that old? Weariness has set in, those tired and aching bones? Or what is it? I don't know. I don't do that when I'm out drinking, partying. And maybe that's why I still have to do that from time to time, just to force yourself to get out there and have fun. Okay. You've been patient. Talk to you later on, and I'll get this one out to you before I leave for camp with the girls. Bye for now.
J'aimerais mourir tellement j'ai voulu croire. Parfois j'aimerais mourir pour ne plus rien avoir. Parfois j'aimerais mourir pour plus jamais te voir. Je ne t'aime plus, mon amour. Je ne t'aime plus tous les jours. Je ne t'aime plus, mon amour. Je ne t'aime plus tous les jours. Parfois j'aimerais mourir tellement y'a plus d'espoir. Parfois j'aimerais mourir pour plus jamais te revoir. Parfois j'aimerais mourir pour ne plus rien savoir. Je ne t'aime plus, mon amour. Je ne t'aime plus, mon amour. Je ne t'aime plus tous les jours. Je ne t'aime plus, mon amour. Je ne t'aime plus tous les jours. Je ne t'aime plus, mon amour. Je ne t'aime plus tous les jours. Je ne t'aime plus, mon amour. Je ne t'aime plus, mon amour.
Gonna try a little experiment here. There's a lot of wind noise here on my favorite bench in Bluffers Park, and so I've got the mic set to low sensitivity, which means I have to hold it right up to my mouth. Don't quite know what this is going to sound like, but it cuts down all the other stuff. So look, hang on, I'm gonna be right back. Don't go away. I'm just gonna check this, okay? I'm gonna see if it's all right. Hang on. That seems to work okay. It's a gorgeous day. The heat spell is finally broken. And as always, there's a beautiful breeze off Lake Ontario here. Even off this little inlet and through the trees. It's a fine, fine place. You've heard that a gazillion times from me, but that's why I keep coming back. What are we going to talk about today? It's my last day of holiday. Tomorrow my students arrive, and my wife... said, just take it easy, because, you know, really, I'm in just full swing once that plane touches down. It's just no stopping, no... I mean, I say that, and it's a complete lie, because I've more or less lined up everything that has to be done, you know, arrange the meals. Oh, shit, that reminds me. Got to order extra chicken for Brian. I needed a driver, so... Like, with each day, there are so many components. And with each component, you've got to have, like, a phone number. Okay, What's the name of the driver who's picking us up at Pearson Airport, and what's his coach number, which you have to give to the attendants there because the buses aren't allowed just to hang around waiting at Pearson. They've got to be in a special holding area. And when you've got all your students and all their bags, then you can help. Then the driver can come in. So you've got to have little things like that. There's just a million details. And I've got them all. It's thrilling to know I've done this for so long and independently. I think this may account a little bit for my growth and confidence, because in the beginning, when this program started in 1993, I was totally dependent on other people for finding the whole for everything. I was just the guy who brought the partners together. And over that time, I've just taken over bit by bit. And I was smart enough on the very first year to go out on the coach tour, and I've done that ever since. So sort of I reclaim this, and gradually the East York Board of Education amalgamated with the Toronto District Board, and they really didn't want anything to do with this. And then my Japanese partners, as one company failed, I got the president to sign over the shares and then created my own Canadian company. And next thing, I'm holding all the cards. It wasn't devious, it was just survival. And this is the thing that surprises me about myself, because I think outwardly I don't seem that competent in some ways, and yet I have really good survival skills, you know. I always think if there was like a stampede, if I was off in India and suddenly the bridge collapsed that we were all on, there's a part of me thinks I would just resign myself to being trampled to death and just giving up hope, you know, just maybe a dismay at the fact of crowd behavior. It's disgusting. But maybe there's another part of me that'd say, fuck that, man, I'm out of here. You know, it's not my fault you fuckers didn't build the bridge properly and you put 10 million people on it but it can only support 200 at a time. I don't know. And I don't think we really have to go and spend too much more time on that thought. But I was thinking last night, you know, okay, there's a couple of things going on here, all right? So let me just straighten that out. I paid for and downloaded Boss Jock Studio for my iPhone and my iPad, and I am thrilled. I'm so happy I did it. This is what I've been hearing the buzz about. Sylvain was the first person I heard mention it, and this is what I'm not sure Dave, Dr. Dave Broadbeck is using it, but I know Bob Goyetch is, Mark Blevis is, for their shorter podcasts. And then Bob posted, oh, shit, this thing has crashed on all my devices. I'm not happy. And there's just been a string of comments and conversation going on Canadian amateur podcasts, podcasters, I don't know, on the Facebook page. So if you're a Canadian podcaster, you want to be joining in that conversation, Canadian amateur podcasters. And Dave Mansueto, I think, is one of the developers, formerly of Libsyn. I don't know. Just look it up. Has been joining in the conversation. Well, what would you like me to do? And was released an update, and we're trying to do this. And Mark Blevis is saying, yeah, well, I want to be able to do this, this, and this, you know, on his wish list. And it's pretty neat that somebody who's actually behind the software you're using is in the conversation with you. That really was a turning point for me. And so yesterday I tried it out, and god damn, it was fun. You've got a little slider, you've got a little a cart where you can keep your sound clips and things, you know, or even a tune that you want to play in the background. Now, it took me 4 tries to do it properly. I didn't realize you had to hold the mic button down. So I actually put out a very decent 20-minute inaugural podcast with it, and of course, there's no voice. You know, the mic part, it wasn't recording. It was only got the background. So you'd have these songs fading in and out. So I trashed the first fiddle. I finally realized, oh, okay, hold down this thing or put it on lock. And feedback has been positive. If you subscribe to my Having Said That podcast, which is sort of the spillover from Dixon Jane's, I think it's... never mind what it is. If you go to the Dixon Janes at blogspot.com, whatever, you know, where you find me, there's a link to the Having Said That. And
I know I was just surprised that it downloaded yesterday, but I'm not doing anything fancy about that, and I don't care. I just want to say that I wanted a tool that I maybe could use while I'm on tour with my students, and maybe don't want to put out a whole 60-minute podcast, but just want to put out a shorter reflections from the lake, you know, or whatever, when I'm at camp, or from Quebec City, from a park. And I think that'd be neat to do. So that's why I got it before I left. This is really, in effect, relates to the previous conversation. All this is preparation for the tour. One of the things is I want to have my technology all lined up. This will be the first summer that I've actually had an iPhone for the program. I've had my iPad before, but not an iPhone. So I'm going to be able to record and post, I think, on the road, and especially when I'm traveling with the Barstool Buddha throughout Quebec and the Maritimes this summer. God, what a trip that's going to be. So, all right, bottom line, I'm very impressed, and I've had a little feedback from a few people, the food fella and Up in This Brain Jason, saying, wow, sounds pretty good. I might look into that. And I do encourage you. I do say it's worthwhile. Now, having said that, so I start playing and I realize, oh, gee, I'd like to bring in some of the little hooks and links and things that you have on GarageBand. And I had to install GarageBand on my iPhone. I've already got it on the iPad, but I've never figured it out. I use GarageBand simply to dump all my tracks in and arrange the timing and the transitions from one to the other, which I'm very careful about. As you know, on the Dixon James podcast, you will have heard a song between this clip and the first one, and it will have come in at exactly the right split second and will have come out at exactly the right split second. I'm telling you that because I make a point of doing that. I really do care about that. Now, if I was a better editor, I would do more like that fellow who I haven't talked about for a very long time, who does Vinyl Countdown, and leave a lot more just sort of dead air, just quiet, no noise transitions. But I'm not like that. I'm like one of these people who has to fill every piece of paper, and I'm the same way with sound. I have to fill all the sound, so there are no breaks, there are no pauses, there are no silences. That's just the way I am. Okay, that's my brand. Sorry, even if it's not the best way. Now I keep losing my thread here. Damn. So, did that. Oh, yeah. So, first of all, it threw me off. Like, before I recorded this podcast, I thought, wow. I wanted to go back and do another one of those, what I'm calling them, Dixon Jane's Light. I wanted to do another one of those. It's more fun doing it on the iPhone instead of this. But no, I'm going to keep going with the Dixon Jeans as long as I can. The full 60-minute version, which this is part of. I just wanted to be prepared to know how to do that on the road. Oh, damn, I keep there's something I keep reaching for, and I keep losing it. It's so evasive, this piece I want to touch on. Ah, GarageBand. Okay, I'm sorry. As I started to play with it on my iPhone, I realized, on my iPad, okay, first of all, I have no idea how this works. I really don't get it. And then that opened up the bigger picture. I don't get music at all. I have no understanding. And that opened up a bigger picture because I realized that during my time in school that I got through, you know, very average marks all the way through school, and then finally at university, well, I can start pulling off A's. So it's not that I'm stupid, but there is something about my learning and my learning style that is really off, that I just don't get, and I don't think I've ever fully recognized it up until now. And when I tried to play around, it wasn't that I didn't know, okay, hit the piano key and it's going to make a noise, and oh, bang, bang, bing, 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 bang, 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 you know. I have no sense of music, even though I had a set of drums since the time I was about 16, 17 that my father got me started on. I grew up in a family of music. My father was a banjo player, then in his later years took up the guitar. My sister's a piano player. I was never taught anything or given any music. The music I studied at school basically, it was a lesson in humiliation. You had to stand in front of a music teacher who would hit some keys on a piano, and you had to make certain sounds or notes or something, which I didn't get and didn't understand. And all I knew, it was very humiliating to have to do this in front of the girls, because your voice was kind of funny. I've never been able to sing. Well, I can scream, you know, Johnny Cash and Bob Dylan around a campfire when I'm half drunk. I just don't have any grasp, and I have no understanding. I've mentioned that before, that only recently I begin to hear, oh, so notes somehow are related to chords. Well, this is a huge area of knowledge. And there are other pieces of areas of knowledge that I'm missing. And it's not just a lack of education or lack of opportunity. It's just not grasping the concepts. It's like art. I love art. I go into a museum. I'm crazy about the paintings on the wall. I don't know anything about color. I'm colorblind on top of that. But I just don't grasp how you make art. But I certainly have no understanding the way an Anthony Marco or Bob Goyette, who are musicians, get it. It's just a piece. And it's made me think, well, what else has been missing in my life? What other parts have I not uncovered that I've somehow got through life not knowing? And I'm saying this because I'm also trying to understand my son, my young son, Chuck, who doesn't seem to have a full grasp of time. Like, we're supposed to, but right now we are supposed to be at IKEA shopping for furniture because he's just repainted his room and it's redoing the floors, and bam, he's getting a new room, new computer desk, new bed, everything. But my wife says, well, he didn't get home till 3 this morning. So there's not a hope in hell he's going to be up in the morning, but he was insistent yesterday, yes, for sure. He doesn't get time, he doesn't get the idea of a project needs to be started at a certain time if it's got to be due at a certain time. He just thinks in different ways, and there may be pieces missing in his processing. And I'm just saying all this because I realize, okay, it's probably passed on from me somehow. And why am I telling you this? It surprises me, and this is relating back to my survival skills. So to compensate for things that you're missing or you can't do or you don't understand, and even though you might not be aware that you're missing these constructs, this framework, even if you're not aware of what it is that you can't do, you develop other compensations, other ways of doing things, other ways of solving problems, other ways of getting around. And you become what my doctor said is high functioning. And I guess that's it about me. I'm high functioning in other ways. Here I am, you know, just figuring my way around doing this whole podcasting thing and you know, pulling off good marks in the things that I am interested in and can do. So, God, I thought I was going to get somewhere. I thought there was a point. Maybe it's just that I want to share this with you in case somebody else out there says, yeah, you know, that sounds kind of familiar. There's things that I just, it's not a question of not being good at, but maybe just not getting it. And it's music in particular is the one that stands out. But maybe there's other things, maybe other grasps of whole other areas that I can't even imagine right now. But I think our weaknesses can make us stronger. You know, you compensate. It's the old, you know, the blind person with a good hearing. I don't know how true that is. Well, they say it is. Because you have to. You simply have to develop other areas. The human brain is just this marvelous machine that somehow. So it's a whole area that's fascinating. But let's end there. Kind of, I'm done with that. I'm bored with that. That's the other thing. Okay, here, one more thing. It's not just the attention span, although that's a part of it. But for me, constantly needing new stimulation, constantly needing a change, constantly needing something that's different, that just turns you on, and you sort of, you find it, you play with it, you get excited by it, and then bam, okay, what's next? In some ways, that's a sign of a creative person. In other ways, that's just, wow. That's just the way you're hardwired. And, you know, I'm always amazed that some people can just find a task and stick to it forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You know, like doing homework. I couldn't fucking do homework. God damn. All right, enough about me. What else is going on in the world? Well, as you know, most of the world is shit. I still cannot get over this election hinging on every party trying to get in front of every other party over we're the first to support Scarborough subways. Subways in Scarborough. And I don't get it. I was just glad to read letters to the editor in the Toronto Star saying why. I mean, you know, whatever cost they predict, it's going to be doubled in no time. Once they've dug in, literally, and started going down that route, and apparently they already have started digging holes, the prices will just escalate because there's no way back, you know? And then you can't sort of say, well, we can't afford it. No, it's going to cost a hell of a lot more, no matter which way, even if you go LRT. But at least there's a better handle on the LRT, and that's the light rapid transit, which is the only fucking way that makes sense. Yesterday when I voted in the early election, there were 10 candidates, like, you know, half a dozen fringe parties out there, which I guess is kind of fun. One was a party just for people with special needs. But I guess that's somebody they just, you know, as I told my son, well, it's just because people want a platform. They want to get out there. Libertarian Party and, don't know who else. But I guess you don't really care, do you, about that either, whether we get them. But it is, if you're in Toronto, it's a huge deal. It's not just the fact that it's taxpayers' money. It's thinking to the future. It's thinking what's practical. And an above ground like they're doing in so many other cities is the way to go. Oh. Okay, I guess we're done. I mean, oh yeah, we really are done. I'm sorry. So I am taking my wife's advice. I'm taking today off. I got to go visit the chicken place and up the order. And, you know, I got to call Charlie and make sure he checks off all the names of all the people who arrive at the library at the high school where the students are meeting their host families to make sure nobody's missing. And if there is somebody who hasn't showed up by 5:30, get me there. You know, I'll have the number. I got to call them and say, what's going on? So it's never quite out of your mind when you have your own business. You're always good, still there, you know. Which is okay. So I'm sorry, I bet you there are a ton of other topics way more interesting than the ones I've just left you with, but that's the way it goes in the Dixon James podcast. Sometimes you get on a roll and go with it and get all excited, and sometimes you don't. And yet, on the other hand, when I listen back, I'm always pleased with the product. I think I do a pretty good fucking job, even if you don't. Well, if you don't, you're not listening. No. Oh, I'm sorry. I hate to insult the people who are listening and are following along nicely, playing nicely with me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, all you dedicated fans out there keeping me going all these years. Much appreciated, and here's a tune for your listening pleasure. Mark, don't double the speed when the song comes on. I know you told me before you just fast-forward through the songs, too, but Jesus, man. Take a walk. Take that dog of yours for a walk, if it's capable of walking, and listen properly, okay? All right. If you want, just listen to the shorties then. Dixon Jane's Light. Yeah, it's from Mark Blevis. Bye for now.
Gold and silver I've been storing away. Victor Turner looking east and west from the dark room of his mind. He made your Kansas City
12th Street and Vine, nothing's standing there. I want to everywhere. High water rising, the shacks are sliding down. Folks lose their possessions, the folks are leaving town. Bertha Mason shook it, broke it, and she hung it on the wall. Say you're dancing with whom, they tell you to, or you don't dance at all. It's tough out there. I won't I ever wear. I got a craving love for blazing speed, got a hopped up Mustang Ford. Jump into the wagon, love, throw your panties overboard. I can write you poems, make a strong man lose his mind. I'm no pig without a wig, I hope you treat me kind. Things are breaking up out there. High water everywhere. High water rising, 6 inches above my head. Coffins dropping in the street like balloons made out of lead. What I poured into Vicksburg, don't know what I'm gonna do. Don't reach after me, she say, can't you see I'm drowning too? It's rough out there. High water everywhere. Well, George Lewis told the Englishman, the Italian and the Jew, you can't open up your mind, boys, to every conceivable point of view. They got Charles Darwin trapped out there on Highway 5. Judge says to the high sheriff, I want him dead or alive. Either one, I don't care. High water everywhere. Well, the cuckoo is a pretty bird. She warbles as she flies. I'm preaching the word of God, I'm putting out your eyes. I asked Fat Nancy for something to eat, she said take it off the shelf. As great as you are, man, you'll never be greater than yourself. I told her I didn't really care. I want her everywhere. I'm getting up in the morning, I believe I'll dust my broom. Keeping away from the women, I'm giving them lots of room. Thunder rolling over Clarksdale, everything looking blue. I just can't be happy, love, unless you're happy too. It's bad out there. I want to help you.
And we're back. I think what you just heard, oh yeah, it was some Dylan from Love and Theft. I like Dylan, and I think a lot of people out there, if you knew any early Dylan, I think he certainly doesn't have a new generation of followers the way the Beatles and other groups did. And so a lot of people don't even know his later stuff, but it's pretty good. Anyway, it is Monday. I'm leaving in just a few hours to get to the airport to meet my students, and I thought I'd finish this podcast off before the tour starts. I just need to get it out of my system, and that's why we're here now in St. Andrew's Cemetery again. It's become a favorite spot. It's really neat. I drive along Eglinton. I've got a choice. I get to Brimley. And if I turn right, it'll take me right down to the foot, Bluffers Park, right? You know, my usual spot. If I turn left, it takes me right up to Thompson Park, and I just hang another right down this neat little side road, and I'm in the middle of this very quiet area, staring at gravesites. And that's what we've chosen to do today. I've been making executive decisions all day. These tours, you know, things come up. So like 10 o'clock last night, I got an email from somebody, you know, a host family needing information that I hadn't sent for some reason. And, of course, the internet was down. I had to get up, unplug the router, replug it. Oh, thank God it's back. Deal with that. I just got another phone call just now. Well, the document you said you sent me, I didn't get from somebody else. Critical document. I got to deal with that. So, like, you're go, go, go. And that's why I want to just, oh, finish this before the official start of my 2013 Canadian Study Tour. Because that's what I call it. Speaking of call it, I've had a number of names up on Canadian Amateur Podcasts, suggestions of what I call my short 10-minute podcast. And thanks, guys. I'll find something else for now. It's just the Dixon James short. But we'll see. I'm sure I can do better than that. I just came from lunch. I got to tell you about this place. It's called Tatami. It's in the Eglinton Town Centre. So if you know Toronto, which you probably don't, but if you did, you'd know you just drive along Eglinton, and it's between sort of Warden and Pharmacy. There's a huge complex of shops and big stores and Canadian Tire and a theatre and so on. But there's a new place called Tatami, all-you-can-eat sushi. Service is amazing. I guess they're just trying to attract customers. It's young guys who are as friendly as can be. And would you like some more? Well, take a rest and then order some more. Like, and you have this paper with, like, you know, 100 items on it, and you just check off how many you want of each. And they just keep coming back. You got your pot of tea, your cold water. I'll try the spicy sushi. You know, I'll try the a hand wrap. I'll have a maki. I'll have, you know, deep-fried mushrooms and tofu and tempura, everything. And I've learned, I'm smart enough to know, don't pig out. You don't have to. Just eat what you're going to enjoy. Pace yourself. So, highly recommended. And it was just nice. I'd had a bit of a rough start to the day. My son didn't sleep last night, and he's got a problem sometimes sleeping. And today he was supposed to start a new course. First day, can't come. And, of course, I go into the room. Hey, you're sleeping in. What's going on? And, before things could get out of hand, I just backed up and let him get back to sleep and realized, no, he just can't. And I feel so bad for him. He really wanted to go. This is not a guy goofing off. This is a guy who just desperately wanted to go, did everything right just to get himself to bed and get ready for a new start, and it just blew up in his face. And there's his pain. Of course, my wife didn't sleep at all, knowing that he couldn't sleep. And of course, like fathers everywhere, I slept right through it all until the morning. But it's just, it's sad. It's part of the pain you carry as a parent. And I'm not going to go any further into that, but you're always learning. You're always, and I did learn. Normally, this would have led to a confrontation. I realized no, it was absolutely past that point. So anyway, what I did, I went out and bought him a nice desk. He's redoing the room. He's still his job. He's been assigned to the tear up all the carpets, sand or clean up the floors, polish the floors. Put new baseboard around them, and it's a big job. And he usually doesn't start work till 4 in the afternoon. You might hear hammering at midnight, but that's his pace and his style. And anyway, yesterday we went to IKEA. I don't think I've been in 10 or 15 years. I don't want to go back for another 10 or 15 years. Just a nightmare for me going through there. I mean, neat stuff, but the idea that you have to walk through the entire fucking warehouse to exit it with people in front of you and strollers, and you just want to push them out of the way, and oh, God. Anyway, found neat stuff, a bed. We'll have to order that from too. We're getting a fresh start from my son. He's painted his room a dark green. It looks very cool. And we're just hoping everything goes according to plan in the house. I got tons of stuff to do. Trying to take lessons from Mr. Mike Vardy and his books and his advice about just learning to get things done. I think one of the themes in his book, God, I can't remember the title right now. It's something to do with golf and four and, I don't know, it's not hole-in-one. But is the idea that sometimes you don't have the energy levels to do things, and you may have to, it's not the right time to make a move. And I think that's brilliant philosophy, because you just can't force yourself to do stuff when it's not the right time. And learning to go with that. And today is my time to say, okay, I got shit to do and papers to print off, and bam, I'm on a roll. So what I did to reward myself today after all that hullabaloo about realizing, oh, my God, we're off to a bad start. My son's not going to school. Oh, my God. I went and treated myself to lunch at this very same tatami restaurant. And it's so nice to have like a wallet full of company credit cards, my company, mind you, but I still pay the bills. But it's a really nice feeling that, no, you're not going to pay for this. It's on the company. And haul out a gold Amex card or something else. That's all part of the good fun. And I must admit, I think I do rise to the challenge of this tour, and I do get... I get stressed, I get anxiety. Well, not anxiety so much, stress for sure. But then I always pull it off somehow, get it done, meet the challenges. And I think it's healthy to do that, healthy to have to deal with issues and make things work. God, there was a whole lot of other stuff I was going to talk about. Shit, and it was a really good topic, too. And now I've only got 5 minutes left. Hang on, I'm going to pause this one, because it really was something I really wanted to talk about. I thought of, oh, the royal baby. Well, give that. You don't want to talk about that. Maybe by now it's been born, been there, done that. My heritage is British, and so I care. You know, and this maybe seems strange for somebody who professes to be a socialist and so on. I don't need the Queen on my money, and I don't need her on my stamps, and I admire and love this person. And I guess in that sense, I'm a monarchist in if I was British. I don't know that I'm in any hurry for Canada to become a republic, especially when we have leaders like fucking Harper. I'd rather the Queen my leader than Harper. But she's not, of course. I understand why people of different heritages, different backgrounds, say, dump her, get rid of her, we don't need this crap anymore. And that's okay. Those are your views. I'm just saying, hey, if I can allow you to have your views, you can certainly allow me to have mine. I love the Queen. I don't think there's a woman on this planet who has worked harder than her, other than slaves who've died from overwork. But, and people say, yeah, but they're just spoiled and so on. I'm saying, put anybody in their shoes, and they're saying, well, it's just, they got money and they got servants and they got all this stuff, they can do anything. Being anybody isn't easy. Being born into a royal family and having to get decent grades in school, yes, they have tutors. Learning how to fly a helicopter or a plane and take charge of a group, I couldn't do that shit no matter what. How much help I had. I just wouldn't be capable of it. And I just say, show a little, no, you don't have to show respect, goddammit. I'm just saying, appreciate humans for who they are. It's not easy being somebody, even, you know, take it on a lower level. Take somebody who's a Hollywood star. Oh, well, they got tons of money, their life is easy. Nobody's life on this planet is easy. Nobody gets a free pass. It doesn't matter if you're born wealthy or have servants or a privileged class or whatever. You still, sure, people say, well, I'd trade places any day. But the average person would not be able to. It takes training and discipline, and it's just hard. And it's hard being a royal. I hate that term. And this little kid is going to grow up with the eyes of the world on him or her, in third in line for the throne, and it will survive. The British monarchy will keep going because people will want it to. That's just not easy, okay? I don't know. I'm just saying, hey, I grew up with a grandmother straight out of Victorian England, lived with us for quite a while, and a neat old lady, and I just still picture her in my mind, and my mother with her, being born in England, my grandfather, who left a good life he would have had in Canada to go and sign up with the British Army in 1914 and leave everything behind and have to start over and have a very difficult life after World War I as a result. And so this is
I'm just saying, cut some fucking slack. It's easy to take cheap shots. Who gives a shit? I think it's totally pathetic and stupid that you've got teams of newspapers and cameras and reporters outside the hospital waiting to see. For Christ's sake, that is ridiculous. That's the embarrassing part. I have no use or sympathy for that. I think it's as stupid as it can get. Tell me on Twitter, that's fine. But they insist, and I think that's what pisses people off. It's not the royals doing this themselves. They're not asking for all those cameras and being hounded the way Diana was hounded to death. They're not asking for that. That's an occupational hazard. It's the ridiculous media that's doing it, CBC being amongst the worst. And you can tell they're all embarrassed having to talk about it. They don't want to, but somebody up on high is saying, yeah, well, this is top story, we got to cover it. It doesn't have to be the top story of the day, and I think that's the problem. That's why people are getting annoyed and irritated, as if everybody's demanding when the baby's born you get down your hands and knees and pray. No, no. So there, that's it. That's my rant. Finishing off. Okay, now I gotta go and print off papers and get organized, leaving for the airport in an hour or so. So the tour begins. You'll be hearing from me sometime, somewhere, maybe a shorty. I don't know. Take care, and thanks, as always, for listening to the Dixon Janes podcast. Much, 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 much appreciated. Okay? Much appreciated. Bye for now.